have been told that it is now 144 days until the end of the world.
Run away screaming.
Yeah. It never ends. It never ends. This is Ask an Atheist. You can give us a call at 253-584-1480. And like I said, 144 days because Harold Camping has the backpedaling has begun, ladies and gentlemen.
It seems like it already began.
Yeah, it began before it began, yeah. But it began. How you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing well.
And how you doing, Bob?
Very good, thanks.
Thanks. Thanks for coming in today. Really quick announcement. Apparently somebody's going to give us some money if we say this. Harold Camping is not such a happy camper.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! But that's part of what we're talking about today. If you've gone to our website, wecantknow.com, you'll notice that the countdown has started back up. And that's kind of part of why we're talking today. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Harold Camping has gone on and said, well, you know, second time wasn't the charm, so I'm going to give it one more shot. But we're done with the media frenzy. We're just going to hunker down and insist in the body politic. And wait for it to end.
Yeah, they've kind of completely stripped their website of anything.
Yeah, you can't really even tell anything's going on anymore.
I made a copy just to sort of for old time's sake, but just to make sure that no one can say this didn't happen or whatever, the old 0 days, Bible guarantees it, all that sort of thing.
Mike is, it's going to continue to be on the We Can't Know website. We're going to continue to count down, but it's not going to be the focus like it's been. We are going to redo the We Can't Know website a little bit. Mike really wants to call it down to countdown to backpedaling.
To countdown?
Which is why we did that font hunt the other day.
I get it now.
Anyway, again, this is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And we do have some emails for us, and I'll read this one. This is from James from Chandler, Arizona, and he writes, after several exchanges with a Christian, he dropped a bomb on why you should believe in God and then left. And this is the bomb he dropped. Since you have absolutely no reason to believe that a God doesn't exist, i.e. you're agnostic, you should weigh that complete lack of evidence on one side with the evidence on the other. Look at the Kalam cosmological argument. I'm not really sure about that one. The moral argument and the teleological, more specifically the argument from fine-tuning argument for the existence of God. Since I couldn't logically prove there was no God, there must be a God. Thanks for your time and your show. Hope you enjoyed my story. I'm a bit frustrated that I couldn't do a better job of showing the flaws in his claims. Bob, this is something you sort of focus on.
Yeah, it is. I enjoy having challenges like this and poking holes in them. Of course, the most obvious thing that I'm sure a lot of the listeners have picked up on is this whole idea of burden of proof. And if you imagine a courtroom situation, you've got the defense, you've got the prosecution. The burden of proof is on the prosecution. If both the defense and the prosecution make terrible arguments, it's not a tie. The defense wins because the prosecution didn't support its burden of proof. That's the problem here. The assumption is, okay, I'm a Christian, you atheist, prove to me that God doesn't exist. Can't do it? Okay, well, I guess I win. It doesn't work that way. It's the other way around. It's sort of like, we can get through life assuming that leprechauns don't exist because the burden of proof hasn't been met.
There's even sort of a debate that the idea that God is the fantastical claim here is that religious people, because of something we've been talking about called, Christian privilege and et cetera, is that when they roll into an argument, they're thinking that the base argument, that it starts out that the default argument is that God exists, and it falls upon us to prove that the status quo as we see it is actually the truth.
It's an easy mistake to make. I mean, so many of them are coming from, I once came from a background where that is the default argument.
You know?
Nobody in my family would ever argue that argument. So, I mean, I can see where they're coming from whenever they assume that that's the default argument, but it's not how science
works. One other thing to notice on this is he mentions some of these arguments, the Kalam, the moral argument, the teleological or fine-tuning argument. These are all deist arguments, which means that if you got excited and you said, wow, I find that very compelling, you are not even close to Christianity. Mm-hmm. The flying spaghetti monster could be the guy behind all this, or it could be Allah, or it could be Quetzalcoatl, or Yahweh, or who knows?
Right. And this wouldn't be a show with Mike in the room if we didn't say Frith. So what is the Kalam argument, Zardos? I don't know what the Kalam argument is in this case.
Yeah, William Lane Craig is that's one of his favorites. Kalam is an Arabic word, and this is one of many flavors of the cosmological argument. The way it goes, if I recall correctly, is all things that come into existence I had a beginning. I'm sorry. Right. And the universe came into existence. Therefore, the universe had a beginning.
That's the idea. Okay. So we talk a little bit about this one, where, you know, everything in the world has a cause. Therefore, there must be a first cause.
And yet, of course, we know science tells us of things that don't.
No first cause for God.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But God is the one exception. It's not something else that is the exception. It must be God.
Right.
And it's, again, there's this one YouTube video I did like early days when I'm trying to figure out how YouTube works, where it was just this one cut of one guy holding a ball that looks like it was made out of masking tape. You know, and who made this ball? Me. Who made me? God. Who made God? This is a wrong question. And then I cut it right there. And it's that is special pleading and, you know, and a whole bunch of other logical
fallacies. Was he just excited about his ball of masking tape? I mean,
he painted it red.
Well, who wouldn't be? That sounds very nice.
Exactly. Yeah. And he, earlier in the email, he wrote that this guy having a conversation with then trapped him into a couple of logical traps, which made me look a bit foolish, but really had nothing to do with his argument. But I'm sure he felt that, you know, I'm sure the other guy felt he scored a major victory. And this is something that, a piece of advice I give for folks who like to debate and you know, or who are atheists and are facing the continual debates in Chandler, Arizona. You know, I've been there, specifically Chandler, having that kind of debate. And if you don't feel up to that argument, don't have it. Just say, I don't believe you, and walk away. There's no reason. There's no reason that we must engage every time an opportunity presents itself on a personal basis.
You said, just say, I don't believe you, and walk away. But you can just walk away. I mean,
you could just walk away.
Yeah. I mean, if the guy thinks he wins, then he thinks he wins. I mean, it's not that big of a deal, honestly.
A lot of these people, no matter how good the debate goes, they're gonna feel they scored a major victory.
Yep.
Either way, is that sort of the psychology behind it? Is you kind of when you want to go out there and convert souls, you do kind of have to, you know, pump yourself up. I'm certain you've encountered a lot of this.
I have, and I listened to William Lane Craig's podcast. It's really hard to listen to because he actually is quite a prolific debater, and you know that when he does the postmortem with his straight man, mm-hmm. he's always going to talk about, you know, how he humiliated this atheist, and no matter what happened, he's always going to claim victory.
Right. Right. Well, thanks, James, and I bet you're having better weather right now than I am down in Chandler. Our next email is Eduardo from the Internet, and this goes back into the countdown to backpedaling.
Is that Maine, the Internet?
The Internet?
Yeah, it's Maine. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, I've heard, yeah. Harold Camping has done more than all American atheists put together to create doubts about the idea of God. Would it not be a good idea for atheists to promote these kind of prophets and encourage them to do their prophecies more often?
You know what? The answer on that one is going to be no, but just because, like, I mean, come on, we don't want to encourage, kooks. We don't want to encourage crazies. It's not going to work, but we do want to point out whenever they're actually there, you know, whenever someone is, you know, like Harold Camping exactly, is making these claims, we got to point it out. We got to show what people are doing.
Right.
Harold Camping gave us the perfect storm, and it's in my limited PR understanding, it's sort of like the train's leaving the station. You can ignore it or you can jump on, and that's what we did with this thing.
Yeah, we jumped on pretty early, and we attacked it because it was like right in the beginning of Ask an Atheist, right when we were getting our show underway. Here is this opportunity to point something out and go, look at this, looky.
Yep.
This is complete crap. You know, this guy is going to ruin lives for fun and profit, and then skip away with the money when it's all over.
So
And it was a really good opportunity for us, and then the perfect storm basically arrived. The press got interested, and we got interested, and we got more attention in the last 2 weeks than we had expected to get in the first 3 years of our existence as a show.
How has the web shown that? Have you gotten a lot of web hits?
Well, now that I've done some cooking, I can give you some stats. Web traffic to the AskAnAtheist.tv webpage nearly tripled for a while and is now back to about double what it was before the 21st. On the day the world was supposed to end, We Can't Know received 42,000 hits.
Sweet.
Yeah, which was pretty good.
Wow. That's a lot more hits than the rapture.
That's a lot more hits than the
rapture.
More hits than people that were raptured.
Yes.
And that sort of trailed off because nobody's interested in a countdown that's in the past, and not the idea that the 21st is in, you know, or the October 21st is coming hasn't really hit the memetic, you know, ecosystem yet. So
I think that'll pick up as we get closer.
I think so.
Away might be another big theme.
Again, this is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. I don't think we should encourage these people. And I don't necessarily agree that Harold Camping has done more for us than, say, American Atheists has. Oh, we actually have a phone call about the Kalam argument. This is Brad from Pine City, and he has a question about the Kalam argument. How you doing, Brad?
Yeah, I just was wondering, the religious people that make this argument, they seem so certain in their, it's a fact. Everything has to have a cause, and I'm like, where do they get that from? I mean, has that been proven?
I don't believe it has. In fact, I think if you look at modern physics, you find lots of things that don't have causes.
Yeah.
When you have an alpha particle, which comes out of a radioactive atom, which is decaying, what caused the alpha particle? What physics says right now is not "we don't know." That what they say is there was no cause; it just happened. Now, given a bazillion atoms, you can talk about statistics, but in terms of what caused this one right here, there is no cause.
Right.
So then they're pretty much.
So as you're sensing here, one of the premises just falls flat. Everything has a cause. Well, no, it doesn't. And then of course you do get into the thing we talked about. Well, great. What caused God then?
Well, yeah, it always goes back to that. Then if everything has to have a cause, what causes that? And then what causes that? And then
they want to make
talking about infinity. You're just talking about the infinite cause of everything.
They want to hand wave an exception for God, and I'm not sure it really works that way.
Yeah, this is proof of God by programmatical recursion, if I might. anything else for us, Brad?
No, that was just going to be a quick call. I just I've been hearing this Kalam argument. I even heard it today on the Magic Sandwich Show, and I was just like, it's not been proven, has it? And I don't know why people get away with. Bringing this argument up as though it's a valid point, because really not.
I mean, people hear it at different points in their lives.
Yeah, we've all
someone
heard it.
Just heard it, and they thought, like, this is the argument that I'm going with from
That's
now
true.
On.
Well, you have a good day, Brad.
Yep, you too.
I have to admit that once upon a time when I was doing the grand tour of religions, that argument kind of swayed me. And I haven't heard of it as the Kalam argument, but I'm actually pretty familiar with it.
The Kalam variation is the phrase "everything that had a beginning," and so if you didn't have that, then that quickly becomes well. What about God?
That's all very Battlestar Galactica. It all happened before. It'll all happen again. Everything has a cause.
Are we talking about remakes?
Of course.
Yeah. No, I mean
that could
happen before. Never mind.
Okay. Well, we'll do another email. This is Jason from Long Beach, the one in California, not the one in Washington. You've probably been asked this before, but how do you respond to Christians that tell you that you're going to hell, usually at the end of an argument or debate? To me, it's a conversation ender. Yes, it is. It's you're going to hell is to me how they usually, okay, I don't know how else to convince you, so I'm going to burn you to death.
I normally just look away, maybe laugh. I'm not sure. It doesn't make
Merry Christmas
to
you too.
Exactly.
The thing that baffles me is presumably you go to heaven, you get as compassionate as you are now, you're going to become even more compassionate, enlightened, wise. Even if you imagine some atheist you've met just in passing, you know that guy is going to be burning in hell. How can you live with yourself in heaven? I mean, wouldn't that make heaven hellish?
it's those arguments that my favorite answer to that is, God will magically change your mind so you don't care about the people who are burning in hell.
And the only way that you can enjoy heaven is to become a different person.
Exactly.
Great. I love that idea.
I mean, a little bit about this, the philosophies of identity and changing identity and stuff like that. And that's actually, okay, so the person who's going to go on to live in heaven is ignorant of the people who he was friends with who are burning in hell. That ain't me. It isn't me.
Precisely.
I don't really care about that guy, because that guy cares about is missing a lot of empathy.
Yeah.
That makes me fundamentally makes me who I am.
I think it's a measure of desperation.
I mean,
just to say you're going to hell. It's basically saying, like, I lost the argument. I can't do anything else. You're going to hell. Goodbye.
it's the nuclear option
of
arguments is you're going to burn for eternity. And the thing is, I wrote a piece for the Ask an Atheist website right before the countdown happened, right before the countdown ended, where I said, these people, like in the Left Behind novels and you know, some of the other folks, the late great Planet Earth, 88 Reasons that this rapture will occur in 1988. These guys write about what's going to happen to the people who don't believe in their specific variant of Christianity, and they write about it with barely contained glee. It's like they want people to burn in hell forever, and I wonder, it makes me wonder at the morality of that.
It's hard to imagine. It really is.
I mean, yeah. I don't really have anything to say. I mean, whenever someone says, you know, you're going to hell, you have to convince me first that hell exists, and then that it's a place that I don't want to go, and then that I'm actually going there. That's three arguments.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's just the idea that people question our morality, yet want us to burn forever.
Yeah.
I don't get it. All right, this is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We'll be back in a moment.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of free thinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an integral part of your business. But that's not all. We can set you up with VoIP, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to helping your business succeed through and with technology. At Tacoma Telematics, we are committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
My name is John Kaiser. I'm a survivor living in Seattle, Washington. I am broadcasting on this AM frequency. We will be at Westlake Center every day from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. when the sun is highest in the sky. If you are out there, if anyone is out there, we can provide food. We can provide shelter. We can provide security.
You can help us. Visit rapture-relief.org. Give to the Rapture Relief Fund, a satirical benefit for Camp Quest.
If there's anybody out there, anybody, please, you are not alone.
It reminds me of my favorite part of War of the Worlds, the original radio play, where he, you know, it's the transition from sort of the New Jersey bit to the you know, after the apocalypse bit, mm-hmm. where it ends on an amateur radio guy going, "Is there anybody out there? Is there anyone?" And then it, you know, and he just call, you know, he gives his call sign a few times, and then it cuts to the second phase of it, and it's just a really chilling part. And
it's really creepy, yeah.
Yeah, I love that commercial. And that commercial is why we're, well, or what that commercial is about, actually, is why we're here today.
Rapture Relief.
Kyle and Bob are involved with Rapture Relief, which is part of Seattle Atheists, which is a Seattle Atheist joint. I don't know what you'd call it.
Yeah, I like that, Seattle Atheist joint.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
So Rapture Relief, it was a Seattle Atheist idea. I'm on the board of Seattle Atheists. Bob just helping us out there, and quite a help, actually.
And for full disclosure, I was once on the board of Seattle Atheists.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay. Well, you know. And the one guy on the radio has to know.
It was kind of the brainchild of John Kaiser, who's not here today. Not that he's dead, he's just not here today.
He's not with us today.
And he came to us and he said, like, I want to do something kind of like what they're doing down there on Ask an Atheist. I want to do something that that pokes fun at this guy, and we can collect some money for something that we know isn't going to happen. But we need to be upfront with it.
Right.
We need to say, we're collecting money, and when it doesn't happen, we're going to be giving it to Camp Quest West, in the hopes that we can get a camp up here for kids.
Well, first things first, why don't you guys, why don't you tell us about Seattle Atheists as an organization?
Okay. Well, Seattle Atheists, it's one of the biggest atheist and agnostic kind of communities up here. We have membership meetings and events where we have speakers. And whenever I say up here, I mean the greater Seattle area.
Right, right, right.
Which includes Tacoma. And
yes, it does.
I think we're calling it the greater Puget Sound now.
Oh, good. Okay, so you are trying to go a little bit trans-Seattle, a little bit. Okay, because I live in Tacoma.
Right. And you are welcome, and as is anybody who lives in Texas and other countries. I mean, everybody.
It's the Seattle Atheist events always have a pretty large crowd, and it's where I really cut my teeth on the atheism visibility movement. A lot of energy there, and it's been a lot of fun. If you've been to the Flying Spaghetti Monster page on Wikipedia, the float there.
Right. Yeah, we do make an appearance, and we make an appearance on Venganza too. Which is the Flying Spaghetti Monster's home on the web. Yeah, so we have a float that we enter in the summer parades and fairs, which is coming up pretty soon. So.
Oh, that's true. Fair season has begun. Parade season is coming. So
Fremont, Pride, all of them.
Yeah, and if you'd like to read about Seattle Atheists online, the website is seattleatheists.org. And that's the group specifically. And then, like you said, John actually contacted me in the early part, and he said, we really like what you guys are doing with the Countdown to Backpedaling, and we kind of like to do something regional and make it, kind of build on it. And we're like, oh, absolutely, absolutely. And then he kind of took it in a completely different direction that I was expecting. And like for a minute, I was like, whoa, I don't know, we might get set on fire.
It got pretty big there for a little. We had some huge pipe dreams.
Yeah, I had some really big ideas. So what kind of stuff have you guys been doing for the Rapture Relief Project?
Well, the first part of it, as Cal mentioned, was sort of a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing. The basic idea was atheists are for sure not going to get raptured.
Right.
So who's going to be hanging around to help people who are hurting and burning and, who the heck knows what? Atheists, we're the best ones to help out. So we're collecting money for this, and of course, as Cal mentioned, if the inconceivable happens and October 21st comes and goes, and we still have nothing, no Armageddon, the money goes mostly Camp Quest. But the campaign has sort of morphed a little bit. We've gotten serious in our most recent press release, and what we're doing is now that we're seeing, as I understand it, one suicide, we see attempted murder suicide, we see people. I'm talking about the aftermath of Harold Camping shenanigans. People who are now destitute who woke up on May 22nd and said, "Oh my God, what's going on here?" We are seeing problems, and we're simply asking for accountability.
Right.
Harold Camping, as many of you know, has he's been interviewed, asked this question. On his show, Open Forum, I've listened to it, and people have asked, hey, if you're not going to be using your radio station, your car, your house after May 21st, give it to me, but now this is reporters. I mean, and this is deadly serious. He had a room full of reporters asking the exact same question. The guy just does not get it. I take no responsibility. We don't give financial advice. Hello.
You recently did a press release calling for accountability of Harold Camping and everything he does, and we've been talking about that here. And when we started the Countdown to Backpedaling, it was pretty tongue-in-cheek. Oh, the world's going to end, and then as time goes on, we're seeing the guy in New York who spent his entire retirement account on advertising. We're finding about suicides. We're finding about attempted murder suicides.
Mm-hmm.
The family who spent all of their children's college money on this, expecting the world to end when the children themselves do not believe that the world is going to end.
And you have Family Radio, which is in excellent financial position.
$114 million,
I think you're right. That's what the net worth is, and here they have, the cause and effect is very straightforward. So they have caused a problem. Could they please fix it?
Yeah,
that's just the simple request. And you talk about the possibility of fraud here. I mean, we're not lawyers, we're not legislators, we're not experts in this kind of thing. But you look at intentionality, and the question is just so straightforward. If you really buy into this, Mr. Camping, May 22nd, you're going to be gone. You don't care about your house, your car, your radio station.
Right.
Sell it in advance. Have someone take possession on May 22nd. Use the proceeds to help the poor. I mean, help the needy. I mean, do the Christian thing. What would Jesus do? That kind of thing. He did absolutely nothing in that regard.
No,
he laughed at the idea.
If I remember his quote, he was quoted as saying, well, we make no financial advice. We don't tell people what to do. Blah, 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 blah. That's crap. He's a preacher. His job is to go in front of people and tell them what to do. And he's specifically telling them that the world is going to end.
And the word guarantee, the Bible guarantees it. It's on the website.
That's not financial advice. That's just everything advice.
Yeah. And the problem, the reason why I haven't specifically been going after him for accountability is that in America, we have a long history going back 250-plus years to the sort of the Midwestern traveling preachers and the snake oil salesmen who would come into a small town, set up a tent, get a big revival, scam the entire community, and then split town as soon as somebody noticed.
Yeah. At the same time, you think about snake oil, and you know, in about 100 years ago, we started to have you know, pure food and drug laws. We had, you know, if you make a medical claim, you have to back it up, that kind of stuff. So in the case of, I mean, that's a great parallel. In the case of medicine, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
You make a medical claim, you have to back it up.
Sure.
Somehow religion gets a pass.
That it does. And, I mean, some people point to that, you know, the First Amendment rights is that, you know, it's religion, so we get to do what we want, except you don't. We hate to say it, but there are some limitations on speech. You can't incite to riot. You can't shout fire in the crowded theater. Everybody talks about that. And what Harold Camping is doing isn't equated to shouting fire in a crowded theater is beyond me.
Right.
He incited thousands of people to spend everything they've got and basically ruin their entire lives.
Right.
And it's what Mike has been running, what you guys have been doing with Rapture mm-hmm. Relief, taking it, you know, getting some teeth and taking it serious. And you know, thank you for pointing that out.
So we would love to see, you know, some sort of investigation by somebody who has authority on this. I mean, that does sound like a bit of a stretch. That's a bit of a brass ring.
Sure.
At the same time, I mean, you know, you have the idea of being convicted, tried and convicted in the press. And I would love to see this as a meme, as an idea, with people saying, you know, that's just enough. I mean, there really has been serious concern here. This guy's song and dance has just gone on long enough.
Yeah, that seems like prime target for a Google bombing of some sort. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, I'm mad as hell as this Harold Camping too. But like at the same time, like I love this branch that Seattle Atheist is taking it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also still running the like tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, you completely are. Again, this is Ask an Atheist. Our phone number is 253-584-1480. And one of the big pictures that got floated around the internet from our End Is Nah party is Becky out on the street with the sandwich board that
the
said
end was nigh.
The end was nigh. And that was completely unexpected because you guys brought that sandwich board, which I believe you made.
I did make that, yes.
And somebody said, well, somebody want to sit out front with this? And Becky just, like, ran with it. And
oh, it's fantastic.
You guys went crazy.
And I made it for me. I'm a big guy, and she's little, so it dwarfed her. It was fantastic.
It was like she was walking around in a fridge box trying to be a Dalek or something. it was pretty funny. But one of the things I'm really liking about the Rapture Relief program is it looks really slick.
Thanks.
It looks really nice, and I think we have you to thank for a lot of that.
Yeah, I did a lot of the graphics for it.
Yeah, and you've also done some work for us, the stinger at the end of every video.
Oh, yeah.
That's you.
It's a big one.
But one of the things I really liked that I wasn't sure was intentional or not was actually the iconography for Rapture Relief with the Red Cross that had fallen over and broken.
That was the intention. I was going for something Red Cross-esque, you know, medical... ask
relief.
And then, yeah, relief. But of course, like, we got the rapture, so the Christian cross falls over, it snaps the stem off, and now it's just a red cross.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. So the website for Rapture Relief is rapture-relief.org.
Rapture-relief.org.
Okay.
Or Seattle Atheist.
Or Seattle Atheist.org,
and there's a link.
Okay, so it's rapture-relief.org. The dash is because Harold Camping is a jerk.
I believe the dash is just because someone else has it.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
I expected it was going to be one of the pet guys. But what are you planning on doing with Rapture Relief in the you know, in sort of the countdown to October? Or, like, what's the next step there?
We're going to see how the press plays out in the near term. I think the energy is largely out of this meme. I mean, the press is just kind of fickle, as these things often are.
Yeah.
So we'll just take it where it goes. We got to mention in WorldNet Daily, which is kind of a laugh, the last place you'd expect this. But we're probably just lay low over the summer and then try to fan the flames again in October and get some more mileage out of this thing.
Yeah. And then after October, you know, there's going to be someone else.
There'll be another one.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we've got another live event planned for October, for the October countdown. We're not expecting to get the sort of attention we got for this countdown.
Right, it's hard to do it.
But in a lot of ways, if we're going to get attention, we'd like to get it for something we've done.
Uh-huh. if we're in the middle of the Armageddon right now, I don't have a lot of experience with Armageddons, but as Armageddons go, this one's pretty sweet.
So, yeah, the weather, my thought. The world ended, and then the weather in the Puget Sound area suddenly got nice.
It's really nice.
There's been no earthquakes. There's been no crowned locusts. There's been no, I haven't seen any of the water around here turn to blood, and given the kind of stuff we have going through in that water, that's not out of the question, haha. But
The four horsemen haven't been around here.
I didn't see one.
Not much. But did you really?
Yeah, okay. I think it was just
Yeah and the air has gotten cleaner, so, you know, it's like, wow, this is a rather nice apocalypse, almost like a Talking Heads song. So, we've got, there's two spoken purposes to what Rapture Relief is for, and that's why we call it you're calling it a satirical sort of benefit.
Right. At one point, we had satirical in the headline because we were worried people wouldn't get it, but I think they got it pretty good.
I think they understand it now. Yeah, the first one was the one is if the rapture occurs, that we would help people because we're not going anywhere.
Right. You know, from volcanoes and earthquakes, and apparently the streets are going to be filled with lava. So
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, it was John's idea to build some levees, I believe.
Smart. Okay, if the streets fill with lava, I'm totally doing live-action Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
That's my plan.
I've been playing that game since I was five.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
The floor is lava.
Yeah. But the other one, the purpose that I actually like on this one, and I want to focus on this, is that for our countdown to backpedaling party, we were raising money for the show to keep the show going. But you guys, this is a benefit for a specific sort of charity purpose. And it's Camp Quest here in Washington. Is that the plan?
That's correct. So we were going to work with Camp Quest West, and we've been talking to them. And we're putting the money aside for a Camp Quest in Washington through Camp Quest West, who is doing all the Camp Quests on the West Coast.
That's right.
The name. And Camp Quest is kids camp, teaches science and skeptical inquiry and all that good stuff to kids.
Clear thinking.
Clear thinking.
You know.
And hopefully
we can avoid the rapture.
I love the idea of Camp Quest as an adopted organization here, because the symmetry is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the nuttiness of the rapture, and you have the hope that we can educate our next generation to avoid this kind of stuff.
That really just occurred to me, is that you're replacing this weird rapture scare with something that's incredibly hopeful.
Right.
And this is something that Ask an Atheist, as a group, have been working with. We recently discussed, when the camp does happen in Washington, we're actually hoping to do, as Ask an Atheist, do a radio unit for the camp and have the kids produce a show and stuff like that.
That'd be adorable.
I think it's going to be fun. I've worked at day camps and stuff like that, but I've never seen a camp like Camp Quest before. And the thing is that there are so many Christian camps out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like on my episode of Living After Faith, Rich Lyon's podcast, I actually talk about how I got shanghaied into those things.
I went to a Christian camp as well.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, my parents didn't really want me to go. I just sort of went. And there's tons of them. They're everywhere. And there's really only this one organization, Camp Quest, that's putting on a camp that focuses on science and skepticism and clear thinking and stuff like that. And I'm really glad you guys are working towards that.
So, well, thanks. I'm glad we're working towards it, too, honestly.
And so one of the more satirical things you're doing, and both of you have gotten some attention for this, is at Westlake up in Seattle, you guys have had the sandwich board out and talking to people and things like that. How has that been? How has been sort of not street preaching for atheism? How is that working out?
Passing out leaflets, that kind of stuff. We're just doing what the Christians often do at lunchtime in Westlake, and it's gotten good success. The challenge is sort of mechanical. You have to sort of condense your message into just a few sound bites as someone walks by trying to avert his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was quite successful.
My favorite thing is whenever you can get someone who's averting his eyes to look right at you and smile. And
right.
Like, with just pure relief. Like, oh my God, here comes a crazy. And then you say, the rapture is probably not going to happen. And he looks at you like, what? This is great.
It's about time.
And from what I understand, the plan for that is that you were doing it for a limited period of time at Westlake. Is that the idea?
Yeah, I believe we've stopped doing that now. Maybe we'll pick it up again as the rapture comes more imminent.
Sure.
And we have an addition to your sign we need to make. Maybe you should, Kyle, comment about the sign of
the giant
small selection of some of the dates that didn't come true.
So I used a great resource down at Tacoma Atheist, the end of the world dates, and I put them all on a sign. sign with the previous one crossed off each time. So it says, you know, the end of the world is coming, expect it by 30 AD. No, 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 60 AD. Cross that off. Oops, I'm sorry, but seriously, by 90. And then it just keeps going all the way down to, you know.
It's a lot of dates.
Yeah, 2011.
Yeah, and there's more coming. There's, you know, two in 2011 from the same guy. You know, like I said, in the post, I'm waiting for the mighty camping to strike out. Because, you know, 1994, twice in 2011. I don't think he's got much in him after that.
Yeah, that was strike three.
But then everybody's, it's not a Christian thing, but everybody's talking about 2012. You know, there's that really terrible movie about it and stuff like that. So this stuff never ends.
No, it definitely never ends. Bob showed me a while ago the, what was it, the Sun head on the cover, July 4th.
Sun head of?
The Sun, the magazine. It had on the cover, July 4th is the world is going to
end.
Oh,
exactly. Yeah. Right. This is a tabloid you get at the checkout counter. I mean, you know, where did this come from? It was some sort of odd combination of Nostradamus, Mother Teresa, John the Baptist, which were all, you know, perfect sources. So it's infallible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the world is always ending, and we'll be there to crack a couple jokes about it, I guess.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. I mean, we're not going anywhere.
All right, this is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're talking about rapture relief, and we're going to answer a couple more emails and get into some news. We'll talk to you in a minute.
Ask an Atheist on our website and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Are you tired of religious dogma influencing government policy? Do you support the separation of church and state? Then the Secular Coalition for America is your voice in Washington, D.C. The Secular Coalition for America is the only national lobbying organization representing atheists, agnostics, humanists, and other secular Americans in our nation's capital. The Secular Coalition for America speaks out for millions of non-theistic and non-religious Americans who support public policies based on science and reason, not religious bias. Go to secular.org today to sign up for emails and get involved. That's secular.org.
Join the Ask an Atheist after party at Doyle's Public House. The Ask an Atheist crew will be there at 5 for good beers, food, and you're invited. You'll find a dozen beers on tap, including Stella, Guinness, Smithwick's Irish Ale, Twisted Thistle IPA, and Fuller's London Porter, as well as dozens of domestic and imported beers and bottles. Join us for Good Atheist conversation and meet the crew today at 5 at Doyle's, 208 St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And, we were talking about rapture relief, and we may get back to that in a minute. But first, we've got a really interesting news article from the Mail Online that we just got, like, seconds before we came into the studio.
Still hot.
And it goes a bit like this. The Lord provideth. Woman wins $1 million jackpot after atheist son prays for prize.
Wait.
Yeah. All right.
I'm convinced.
Yeah. All right. Show's over. Goodbye. Where's the music? A non-religious son who mockingly prayed for God to let his mother win the lottery was stunned after she hit the $1 million jackpot the next day.
How do you mockingly pray? That's what I want to know. It doesn't make any sense.
Mockingly pray.
Dear God.
Maybe it wasn't Yahweh. Maybe it was somebody else. Please, that Yahweh was getting some getting dissed, and so it was Allah, or, you know,
Loki's up in the sky going, I like the cut of this man's jib. $1 million for you. Sal Bentivegna, 28, jokingly prayed for his 61-year-old mother Gloria to win the lottery after she lost money at a casino on a family trip to Atlantic City. Casino?
Yeah.
I mean, if God was looking out for her, he would have given her a big win.
Yeah,
the lottery, you would think.
She would have gotten 500 jackpots at the casino and then got the $1 million prize. Miraculously, Miss B then won the New York Lottery Sweet Million game and will receive $50,000 a year for the next 20 years. Speaking to the New York Post, Mr. B told how he sarcastically told his mother to ask your God to ask for $1 million shortly after she lost out on a penny slots machine. So she lost big on a penny slots. Was she going for an endurance record? It takes some time to lose money on that. All right. So this is pretty clearly a certain type of bias, isn't it?
I mean, confirmation bias, you would imagine. Yeah,
confirmation bias.
this is, yeah, okay. So think about all of the people who, I'm certain that nobody else out there prayed to win the lotto jackpot that day.
Yeah.
There you go, 100%. 100% of prayers were answered.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, I could mockingly pray for a spaceship. I'm not going to get one.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way it works. I've been asking for a spaceship for years.
Depending on how you mockingly pray, I have mockingly prayed for a lot of things.
And he said, and the article ends with, he said, lo and behold, she gets it the next day. I sat back and thought about it and raised the odds against it. This are astronomical. I can't shrug off that Jesus had a hand in it. No pun intended. It was a godsend.
Call it a godsend. I mean, you can look that up in the dictionary. And that,
I mean,
that's,
I like that he takes a step to nice Jesus, too. I mean, so we're praying, and then God answers it, and then he can't shrug off that Jesus had a hand.
Yeah, that Jesus specifically had a hand on it. Did he get a note the next day? Hey, I did this. Love Jesus. And he says the odds against this are astronomical. But the thing is this is a lottery, and they're picking numbers.
Someone's going to win.
Somebody's going to win. And the odds of getting any particular set of numbers are equally astronomical. It's not, this is just, you know, you won, so you're getting it. And
you look at all the winners of all the jackpots, and you say, you know, how many of you guys prayed for it? Maybe a high number. So what do we conclude from that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if we, you know, broaden the reach and look at all the people who prayed and didn't get it, that's maybe a better analysis.
Right.
Yeah.
And just, and again, he wins the lottery, so it must be Jesus. And this is something that we see all the whole time, especially among creationists, where they go, you know, okay, there's this flaw in evolution, there's that flaw in evolution, there's this other flaw in evolution, and, you know, you mix it all together and you add it together, therefore Jesus. You're skipping a few steps.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, therefore God. It's therefore Jesus.
Jesus, yeah.
And again, this is just a deist argument. And so often, just because the deist arguments are interesting, that's all they lead with. They have a deist arguments, and then they have therefore God, just ignoring the fact that it points to absolutely no God in particular.
Right. And we've got a call. This is Brad from Utah, and he wants to talk about going to atheism from Mormonism. How you doing today, Brad?
How's it going? Doing good over here.
Cool. What do you got for us?
Well, basically, I've been listening to your podcast over the last few months. Coming from Mormonism, I'm in Provo, Utah, which is the epicenter of Mormonism.
That it is.
And, I just finished a 10-year stint at BYU. And as soon as I got out of BYU, I probably left the church.
No. Wow. Was it something that happened at BYU that caused you to just sort of immediately go, or was it a transition, or what was
kind of a transition. Over the last, I served a mission, 2-year mission in Denver, Colorado, and started to question on my mission. There were several other church organizations that were putting out pamphlets against the Mormon Church
right.
and having regular sessions, and we talked to a lot of people, and things they were saying made sense, even though they were other forms of Christianity that was mainly directing their comments towards Mormonism. So started thinking about it, and decided to leave over.
This is a thing I've noticed a few times, is that, people, that there's sort of internecine warfare among various branches of Christianity, and they fight with each other, and they spend so much time disproving their particular branches of the religion that they've forgotten that they've actually disproven the Christianity thing entirely.
Absolutely.
And have you guys seen that at all?
I remember just being shocked by that very thing. A friend of mine's brother was going to go to Portugal to do missionary work, and I'm thinking, you know, declare victory and move on. I mean, it's Portugal; it's all Catholic. I mean,
yeah.
but this guy was a Protestant, some sort of, you know, evangelical something or other, and that wasn't good enough.
Mm.
Just amazing. I mean, you know, that's at the top of your list. Portugal, come on, seriously.
That said, you got your mission in Denver. I think I guess you kind of pulled the good name out of the hat, or what happened here?
Yeah, actually, I think that's kind of, they just choose you with inspiration or at random, in my opinion. But oftentimes, my mother classified me as being clinically depressed at age 16, and put me on Prozac at that point, and that was kind of a segue into being called to a domestic mission. If you get my meaning.
Ah, I see what you mean.
I want to keep you near doctors and that kind of stuff, even though
fair enough.
I'm fine and dandy now. But
I lived in, I briefly lived in Mesa, Arizona, before I moved up here to the Pacific Northwest, which I was told was the largest conglomeration of Mormons outside of Utah. So I don't know if you've ever, if you've ever been down there. So I know a few people who've made it out of Mormonism and into sort of atheism or at least skepticism. and you know, there, and I've heard this a couple times, but not specifically like while on your mission and then going to BYU. Is it sounds like you were really in the heart of it, and then you just started looking at the evidence, or how did that transition occur?
Yeah, a lot of evidence against the church that kind of made Joseph Smith, founder of Mormonism, look like a lunatic. my wife and I started to think about it, and we actually left the church together, which I think is kind of uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the reasons why I stayed so long, is because we got married shortly after I returned, and she had no questions about the church, and it took her a while, several years of me bringing up things here and there.
Oh, wow.
Finally, she decided to question.
So not only did you leave, but you brought somebody with you.
Exactly.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. That's so rare.
Brian, would you do me a favor and get a hold of us via the Ask an Atheist website? Maybe give us a contact email or something like that?
Sure, we'll do.
That would be great. I'd like to talk to you some more, but we're kind of getting to the end of the hour. But is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, that's great. I appreciate your show, and it helps me to step towards rationalism. So
yeah, well, thank you very much, and thank you for your call.
Best of luck.
Yeah, good luck. The other thing is, this is specifically sort of the area that Rich with Living After Faith does, is sort of the transition from religion to skepticism. And the Mormon story, there's a lot of ex-Mormons out there who leave for a number of reasons, the biggest one being, you know, their stance on homosexuality. But it's not really getting covered as much because a lot of these transitions out are happening in places like Provo, Utah, and Arizona, where especially in Arizona, until recently, there wasn't a lot of infrastructure there to help those people. So,
and you can see the Christians often say, you know, why are you concerned about this issue? Just doesn't really affect you.
Yeah.
But you see the harm with Christianity, where you know this guy, I imagine, has lost his whole support network. I'm not sure if his family is still supportive or friends or whatever. But that network, he can yank himself out of it, but he leaves them behind.
Sure.
So that's a real harm.
And that's part of the reason why I do like to keep, you know, in contact with folks like that is when they're making that transition out, and it sounds like a very recent transition. If he just left BYU, I think it's a good idea to just, you know, keep in touch and stay friendly and see what happens from there. So
having atheist friends can be the easiest thing you can do for yourself. Honestly,
it certainly helped me. I mean, I've been an atheist for a long time, and I didn't really get into the movement until I moved up here, and there were people who wanted to do things about atheism with me. And if you told me 3 years ago that I'd be a producer of a TV or a radio show specifically about atheism, I would have tried to throw a table at you. I was like, no way, I'm not that kind of guy, and no, I'm completely that kind of guy. So we should probably do a couple more emails, I think. So let me pull it up.
Should we do Marshall?
Yeah, let's do that one.
That's related.
So, this is Marshall from the Internet, and dear Ask an Atheist, I know today will be rich fodder for jokes now that we passed the 21st. Like most fans of the show, I like the humor. This is, I think, specifically about Harold Camping again.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I do hope there will be a time to discuss the serious pain Harold Camping did to people.
Ding.
Ding. It is true a fool and his money are soon parted, but that is not a license to exploit. And that is really important. That is very succinctly putting our point here. A lot of people are saying, well, they lost their money. Good for them. They, you know, this is a whole Darwinian. They, you know, now they don't get to breed or something. And that's not what this doesn't mean that we should let Harold Camping do what he does.
Right.
This is a harmful thing. And so he goes on to say, one, people have given up jobs, emptied savings, homes, everything, believing that in what Harold Camping has to say. According to the last IRS family audit, family radio is worth over $122 million in assets.
Oh, a little bit bigger.
Yeah, a little more than we thought. Half of those assets were in the stock market. Not one dime of the family radio assets were sold off. As of early a.m. this Sunday, the family radio website was still asking for and, I suppose, collecting donations. I suspect at age 89, Harold Camping wanted to go out with one last big play for the suckers, and it appears he will get away with it. What can we do? Charge Harold Camping. I do not see a chargeable offense here. And if he is convicted, the judge gives him life at his age? This will go down as one of the great cons of the 21st century. And you were talking about this. This is kind of what your press release was about.
Yeah, exactly. The idea that it's hard to imagine that he really bought into this kind of thing. If he did, he would have signed away all his assets, done some good with them.
Yeah.
And yet, given chance after chance on his radio show and being interviewed afterwards to talk about how he's going to do this, to do what his own listeners have done,
mm-hmm.
he just didn't take it.
No.
So you do really have to suspect, did this guy really believe this stuff? I mean, I'm not saying that this was a scam, as this author, this literator suggests, but I mean you do have to question, because he made no signs that he actually believed this nonsense.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he, like you said, did he believe it? I'm not sure. If he did believe it, then there was precedence before. That means that he didn't. I mean, he was wrong before. He might have done it again, and I don't know. I think right now he's still in the "it totally happened" mode.
and there's historical precedent for that also.
Right.
To say, yeah, well, it actually happened, and you're just too stupid to not see it, because I can tell, and God told me, and
yeah, it's. I mean, Mike, when we talk about it, says he likes to take people at their word, and I understand that. But I do like to look at the evidence, and the evidence is Harold Camping has a lot of money. He didn't use it. Family Radio has a lot of money. They didn't use it.
Mm-hmm.
They had business plans that went beyond May 21st.
Right. Well, I mean, they were saying rapture happens May 21st. We're all going to be gone. You guys are going to be stuck here, mm-hmm. which is kind of why we did the rapture relief thing.
Right.
But they also say that October 21st is the end of the world, like end.
Right.
So if they're still around, if they're still planning on, like, saving their funds after October 21st, they don't believe it.
Of course, yeah. And there's the problem,
yeah.
Is, you know, their website is now back to the way it was before they decided to do this countdown to backpedaling, or no, this end of the world stuff. And there's no news about it, and they're obviously going to continue to happen. There's definitely, you know, Harold, there might be something wrong with Harold Camping, but obviously the people at Family Radio
right.
acted fraudulently, and I think that's pretty clear.
It does appear that way.
And if it's legal fraud, you know, if it's legal fraud, then somebody should take him up for it. But that's not really our place to go. I mean, we actually, I think, did pretty well with his end of the world, but
I'd like to see it investigated. I really would.
Yeah.
And at the very least, if the American public would have a little bit less tolerance for this kind of nonsense in the future, I think, you know, the typical Christian just said, oh, yeah, you know, this kind of stuff happens. But the most important thing is, that's not me.
Right.
You know, I didn't buy into it. My pastor didn't buy into it. You know, that kind of thing, to just sort of, you know, laugh it off. And, you know, we as atheists, you know, calling foul on this is one thing, but they as Christians, they're protecting this guy. So mm-hmm. what would be terrific right. in the future would be if Christians would be a little bit more, this Harold Camping is using their name.
Yeah.
Right.
He calls himself a Christian. He's making every Christian look bad. Hey, Christians out there, you know, stand up for this kind of thing. Make it not happen in the future.
Well, that's a very good point. Very good point. And we'll do another email. This is Ron from New York, and he writes, my question is, do you think it would be immoral for me to start selling a product I make with a Christian theme so I can at least make some financial profit off these chowder heads?
I think the very reason he was asking was for permission. Like, he thinks it's immoral.
Oh, okay.
I think Ron knows that, like, yeah, it's probably immoral. But if I can get permission from someone else, it's not my fault. I'm talking to you, Ron.
So you're suggesting that he does not.
I'm suggesting, you know, it's funny to talk about, but no, come on. Like, we got to be better than these guys, right?
Just because Harold Camping is fleecing the public doesn't mean that it's okay for anyone else. Actually, one thing that came to mind for me on this was Poe's Law. And again, I'm sure a lot of the listeners know about that, but it's just the idea that it's not possible without some sort of you know, wink to the public to make something which is just so out of there that somebody isn't going to believe it.
Right.
Yeah, you know, holy water that, you know, someone bathed in. I'm just making this up. But just
to make
are you making that up? Is that real?
It is, now that you mentioned it, yes.
Oh, my gosh, I fell for it.
$12 a bottle.
To make a ironic biblical reference here, couldn't this be seen as a bit of swords into plowshares, that this guy is getting in on the market and then getting some money back, and maybe he uses it for some other purpose, but isn't not quite as on, you know, on the level as you guys are about it being satirical?
Yeah,
if it was a scam against Harold Camping himself,
mm-hmm.
you might almost you definitely see the justice in that. I mean,
yeah.
not that it would be ethical, but if he's just trying to yet again fleece more Christians. That does, I'm afraid, cross the line.
Okay.
In my mind.
Yeah. I mean, there's. I've often considered it. You know,
mm-hmm.
like I look at a lot of like tacky Christian souvenirs, and I go like, I could make that. And
yeah.
I think I really could make that. then I go like, you know, I probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, I probably shouldn't.
And I think most people kind of go. A lot of atheists kind of do that. Is you know, if I just sort of looked the other way and said the magic stuff, maybe I'd make a good buck doing it.
Right.
And then the problem is most, and the reason why we have an atheist visibility movement is most of us just can't do that.
Right.
It is by our lights immoral. and that's what it comes down to. I would laugh, but I wouldn't give my permission if I had permission to give, which I don't because I'm just a guy.
So to sum up, we're awesome. We're totally cool. All right, I'm good with that.
All right. Well, I think that's what we got for today. So, Bob Seidensicker, you've been with us before. You
did, I have,
and
yes.
Thank you for coming in again.
A pleasure.
And thank you, Kyle. Kyle Hepworth, you've been a fan of the show. You've helped us out.
Yep.
Been looking at you on the radio for a bit.
It was a blast.
Yeah. So... All right. Ask an Atheist is a production of NEDM Media. My name is Sam Mulvey. Our production assistants today were Rebecca Friedman and Mike Gillis. Our call screener was Kate Farr. You can find us on the web at askanatheist.tv. You can also leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it on the air at 206-420-0997. You guys have a good day.